I'm happy now to welcome Catherine DiNapoli. She is co-writer and producer of the film Untitled, which is screening at the Center for Contemporary Arts here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
So this is a very interesting film about a successful painter, his extremely unsuccessful brother, who's kind of a tortured composer, and a young, beautiful New York gallery owner who gives them both various kinds of opportunities. And it's a kind of a satire of an art world that's driven by language and concepts that sometimes seem like total bull, but it's not totally satire either. What was your motivation for writing this film?
Well, we really enjoy going to galleries and are kind of a part of the art scene a little bit. Jonathan, the director's son, actually studied art at NYU, and his parents are art collectors. And I myself am somewhat of an artist. So just a really, kind of a fun subject for us. And also we went to some new music concerts that were very similar to the first concert in the film. So that was kind of the inspiration for that. And they actually played one of David Lang's pieces. David Lang was our composer. And there were three people standing on stage. There was a clarinetist in the middle making these guttural noises and these two huge drums on either side. So anyway, we wanted to kind of marry those two subjects.
It is interesting that if you're going to make a film, a narrative film, full of fictitious contemporary art and music, you have to have an artist and a composer helping you. I mean, how did you approach that task?
Well, we wanted all of the art to have, integrity, even though it was, art that was fictional, and the music as well. Kyle Ng did a lot of the taxidermy art, and he's a young guy, like 22 years old, this artist from LA, and I had met him and thought, we thought he would be a really great guy to make some of the work. And when we visited his house, he had all of this taxidermy everywhere, and he was really into doing taxidermy art. And then he even took us on a studio visit to this garage where there was this guy was doing taxidermy work, and these dogs would come by from the neighborhood and bark. And anyway, it was just kind of a like Silence of the Lambs scene. It was pretty interesting. So Kyle did a lot of the art, and then Jonathan's son, who's studying at NYU, came up with some of the concepts that then Kyle actually made. And then as far as the music goes, David Lang is our composer. He actually won the Pulitzer Prize last year. He's just a really amazing composer. And the director, Jonathan Parker, knew David from his days at Stanford. And David, we had asked to just do the score, but he actually had a lot of fun doing, kind of the other music as well, the kind of crazy pouring water, bucket-kicking type music. So we also are releasing the soundtrack, which I think is a really great album.
I mean, it is hilarious. The guy, you're sitting there and watching the film, and there's a tiny audience of people watching a man very seriously put a chain into a bucket and then kick the bucket. And, and you're watching and going, can anybody take this seriously? And what about you as the filmmakers? I mean, to what extent did you say this is laughable versus this is really serious and to be taken seriously?
Well, that's what's so funny about it. When you go to a new music concert, the people there do take it extremely seriously. The musicians and the people in the audience, who many times are composers themselves or of that genre. And to us, it was very funny, but to have, to laugh at such a performance would be unheard of. So we very much love the music, but there is a comic aspect as well.
As I was watching it, I felt like the comic aspect boiled down to basically a pretty strong critique of the followers of John Cage, if not John Cage himself. What is your own relationship to, or your feeling about that aesthetic of, for example, having a piece which has no sound at all and just listening to the sounds in the room, or having the sounds be made by the most pedestrian objects?
Well, I mean, going back to the days of studying classical music, I remember a girl at a piano recital doing just that. So definitely, you know, it's a concept.
So it also, I mean, again, it's funny because just a few days ago, we had on the air three musicians who are local sound artists who do all sorts of things with computers. And I asked them the same thing that I wanted to ask you, which is, there's a kind of art cliche that goes like this: if you don't understand my work, that means it's way ahead of its time, just like the people didn't understand the Impressionists or Stravinsky in their time. Which, of course, anybody can say, no matter how good or bad their work is. And how do you feel about the avant-garde as it exists today? Is it analogous to that time 100 years ago when people were stomping out of the theater?
Well, I guess it's a question: will time ever catch up? If you're ahead of its time, will it catch up? You know, I very much enjoy avant-garde music, and I'm sure I would have enjoyed it 100 years ago as well. But I do think David Lang is coming up with some very, very new concepts too. As far as presenting it in a film, you know, you kind of have to. Just so everybody gets it, in a way, you kind of need to make it something that everyone can relate to rather than some kind of, you know, total minutiae that no one's ever heard of. So I think going back to the silent concert, which may have been something that was done a long time ago, I think people can relate to that. If you do something that's just so weird, sometimes it's too weird and people might not be able to kind of relate to that.
There are wonderful actors in the film, Marley Shelton and Adam Goldberg. And how did you, what was the process of casting this film?
So this film is a low budget film. And basically in the beginning, I was just writing offers and calling agents and making firm offers. And basically what happens is we don't audition kind of name actors. They just have to really relate to the script and want to do it because they're not getting paid a ton of money. So Adam Goldberg was the first person we thought of for the role of Adrian Jacobs, and he just loved the script, and he was the first person to come on board. And once we had Adam attached, things got easier. He actually recommended that we get Marley Shelton, and that just kind of made it a viable project when you have an actor attached. Later on, we got a really great casting director on board, Diana Brigitte, and she helped get a lot of the other cast.
Adam Goldberg plays the brooding and tortured artist so beautifully. I don't think the scowl ever leaves his face practically the whole movie.
Yeah, I remember just going through these, pictures that are on IMDb online, trying to figure out who to cast, and he had this just scowl from all these photos that he was doing press for us if he had a bad day or what, but it was just really great and it totally fit the character. So that was actually a big help in casting.
How do you go about doing a low budget film of this nature? I mean, it certainly had excellent production values.
Yeah, we really tried to get as much value as we could out of every single dollar. I made sure on this production to sign every single check, and we really, kind of managed it carefully. And then we had some private investors. I think that's the only way that a film like this will get made, because it is so kind of the opposite of what a studio would fund. It's definitely not exactly a, genre picture.
Have you gotten much response to it yet? Has it opened in New York?
Oh, yeah. We've gotten really great reviews, and the New York Times, the LA Times, Ebert, and we opened it at the Angelica in New York, and we opened in LA, and now I think it's moved to the Beverly Center in LA, and San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago. So we're having some really great response. We're pleased.
Have you talked to or heard the response from any gallery owners and artists and musicians who have seen it? I mean, there is some kind of looking in the mirror that must happen when certain people see this film.
Yeah, for the most part, the artists really love it, and I think they can kind of laugh at themselves. And the couple of gallery owners that we're friends with really like it in L.A., and I'm sure that some people, you know, take their work seriously and think that we are, you know, maybe making fun of it, but I'm hoping that people can kind of see it with a comic light. We played at the Carmel Film Festival, and there were all these artists there, and they just seemed really genuinely moved, so that was kind of cool.
Catherine DiNapoli is the co-writer and producer of the film Untitled, which is screening at the CCA here in Santa Fe, and you can find more about that from ccasantafe.org or call 505-982-1338. Catherine, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And we're going to play a little clip from the film.
So what'd you think?
It's young, forward, drinkable.
About the concert.
I like a melody.
Can't you give us any meaningful feedback?
All right. Why don't you try composing something with more emotion?
Why?
So you can find an audience.
And how big should my audience be, Josh? One, 10, a million? Is a million enough?
Is the marketplace the measure of our culture?
That would mean the death of all thought.
Lighten up, Adrian.
Lightening up is not an emotion.
Josh has a point. Sometimes you hide behind intellectual mannerisms.
I mean, this is not popular music. Why does everybody think they're an expert? It's like hearing a lecture on nuclear physics and saying, like, nah, I didn't really like it.
I'm still shaking from the bucket kicks. They cut straight through me. Is it a death knell? A call to manual labor? Add the clarinet overtones and it's a striking effect. The chain drop. Human passion unchained. The kind that takes us right to the edge.
You got a good woman there, Joshy.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And you can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, the Colors of Jazz.